This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
And now we enlighten you with Ayah 260 to 263 of Surah Baqarah, recited by Shahriyar Parhizgar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم.
In the name of Allah, and when Abraham said, My Lord, show me how you revive the dead. He said, Do you not believe? He said, Yes, indeed, but in order that my heart may be at rest. He said, Take four of the birds, then cut them into pieces, and place a part of them on every mountain. Then call them, they will come to you, hastening, and know that Allah is Almighty and All-Wise. Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah and then do not follow what they have spent with reproaches and affronts, they shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. An honorable word with pardon is better than a charity followed by affront, and Allah is all-sufficient, most forbearing.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, FM, and satellites. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you. Chair Defense of Iranian Combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
As the Christian world transforms into a magical wonderland, Christmas breathes warmth and joy into the hearts of Christ's followers. Streets adorned with twinkling lights and vibrant decorations invite families and friends to gather, sharing laughter and cherished memories. The air is filled with the delightful aroma of festive treats, and the sound of carols resonates, creating a sense of unity and love among all. It's a time when the spirit of giving shines brightest, encouraging people to reach out to those in need and spread kindness. This enchanting season encapsulates the essence of humanity, telling us that hope, love, and togetherness can illuminate even the darkest of nights. In Iran, Christmas is primarily celebrated by the small but vibrant Christian community, especially in cities like Tehran, Tabriz, and Isfahan. This day is a public holiday for these communities, and the atmosphere is filled with joy and festivity. Stay with us as we have come to St. Sarkis Cathedral, nestled in the heart of Tehran. Inside the cathedral, we spoke with Arash Averdian, the representative of Armenians from Tehran and northern Iran in the Islamic Consultative Assembly. He shared that Iranian Armenians celebrate two major events each year.
As Armenians in Iran, we celebrate two major festivals each year. One is in early winter, which is Christmas, our religious celebration. And the other is in early spring, which is Nowruz, the national holiday of all Iranians. This is because we live in a country called Iran, an ancient land with a rich civilization that has managed to bring together various ethnic groups and followers of different religions to live peacefully and harmoniously side by side, free from any form of intolerance or racism.
The cathedral is a stunning statement to the city's rich Armenian heritage and vibrant Christian community. Built in the early 20th century, this beautiful cathedral features striking neo-Gothic architecture, characterized by its soaring spires and intricate stained glass windows that bathe the interior in colorful light. A focal point for religious and cultural activities, the cathedral hosts various events, including traditional Armenian services, weddings, and community gatherings, fostering a deep sense of belonging among its parishioners.
We also met with Gerard Mansourian, who represents the Armenians of Isfahan and southern Iran in the Islamic Consultative Assembly.
Could you please tell us more information regarding the Christian community, the Christmas celebrations in Iran?
قدمت ارامنه مسیحی در ایران و حالا به خصوص در اصفهان.
The presence of Christian Armenians in Isfahan dates back over 450 years, and in areas like Urmia, it goes back to the early days of Christianity. The coexistence of Armenians with their Muslim brothers is a remarkable example of the peaceful life of followers of different religions in Iran. During the New Year, Armenians always participate in New Year celebrations. Their streets are filled with vibrant colors, and the shops in Armenian neighborhoods are full of pine trees and Christian symbols. During this time, Christians are busy preparing to celebrate the New Year in the best possible way with their families. Religious ceremonies are held in churches in calm, warm, and friendly environment.
Serene atmosphere within the cathedral's walls invites visitors to reflect and appreciate the harmony that exists among diverse cultures in Iran. In a bustling city like Tehran, such a historic place promotes understanding and connection between different communities. And this is just one out of over 7,000 churches in the country.
برخلاف کشورهای همسایه شما نگاه کنید در ایران.
Unlike many neighboring countries, in Iran, the government allocates specific funds for the maintenance, restoration, and renovation of our religious sites as Christians. In contrast, in many neighboring countries, not only are Christian religious sites unprotected, but they have also been destroyed. Iranian culture, with its religious tolerance, interaction, and peaceful coexistence, are factors that, if embraced by others, would prevent the oppression and suffering of followers of other faiths.
Christmas is a time when many across the world celebrate the message of love that transcends boundaries and cultures. It reminds us to extend kindness, compassion, and understanding towards others. Yet, in stark contrast, we are witnessing profound pain and suffering in Gaza and Lebanon, where people have been in the crosshairs of the Israeli regime for months.
Unfortunately, especially over the past year, we have witnessed the brutal attacks by the Israeli regime in Gaza, the bombing of religious sites for Muslims and Christians in the occupied territories, the destruction of mosques and churches and even hospitals. The massacre of innocent women, men, children has created a tragic situation in the land where Jesus Christ, the prophet of peace and kindness, was born.
In Gaza and Lebanon, countless lives have been affected by violence and despair since October last year. Families are torn apart and communities are shattered. The genocidal practices being committed by Israel serve as a tragic reminder of how far it can stray from the ideals of love and peace that Christmas embodies. Authorities in Gaza reported on December 16 that more than 45,000 people have been killed in the enclave in the last 14 months, as humanitarians condemn new deadly airstrikes across the war-torn strip, including on a UN school-turned shelter. Needless to say, these statistics are conservative, as in the chaos of conflict, it can take time for accurate casualty figures to emerge, and initial reports might only capture a fraction of the actual numbers. Moreover, the breakdown of communication infrastructure during conflicts can lead to underreporting. Reports may take time to filter in, and some areas may be entirely unaccounted for.
متاسفانه در یک سال گذشته در سال 2024
Unfortunately, in the year that is coming to an end, there have been many upheavals in the region, particularly in Gaza. The Israeli regime has conducted the brutal killings, more accurately, genocide of defenseless people in Gaza. According to the Genocide Convention adopted in 1948, even forcibly displacing people from their homes constitutes genocide, let alone the relentless killings and bombings that have claimed the lives of thousands of innocent people, much of which has occurred in Gaza and Lebanon. Alongside the bombings, the Israeli regime has prevented food and even water from entering the Gaza region. It's just horrific.
Yet Muslims are not the only victims of Israel's indiscriminate strikes. Just 8 months into the Israeli genocidal campaign in Gaza, Marcin Aghabekian Shaheen, State Minister of Foreign Affairs and Diaspora, released figures in Ramallah during her meeting with a delegation from Churches for Middle East Peace. The Israeli war has resulted in the death of 3% of Gaza's Christians and the destruction of churches amid restrictions on Christians in the West Bank, Shaheen told the gathering, according to a foreign ministry statement. The fact is, Christians share the same challenges as their Muslim peers in Gaza. Back in 1967, when Israel occupied Gaza at the end of the Six-Day War, there were still some 7,000 Christians there. Their numbers have since fallen to barely 1,000 and now represent a blend of Catholics and Orthodox. Some have immigrated to the West, others to the West Bank or other Arab countries.
Let us not forget the behavior that the Israelis have exhibited towards various ethnic groups in the occupied Palestinian territories. This child-killing regime has appropriated almost all the land belonging to Armenians, forcing them into involuntary exile and systematically destroying their properties by various means. In fact, the treatment of Palestinian Muslims has mirrored that of Palestinian Armenians, as both groups have been witnessed silence from international organizations. At best, they only speak about but take no meaningful action against the crimes of Israel.
This Christmas, as the world celebrates the spirit of hope and renewal, somber yet resilient gatherings take place in churches amid the overwhelming backdrop of the ongoing genocide in Gaza. Filled with flickering candles and soft carols, each church becomes a sanctuary for those seeking solace and connection during this turbulent time. Perhaps Armenian Christians can empathize most with the suffering of Muslims in Gaza, who have faced grave violence and loss amid the Israeli regime's ongoing genocide. More than a century ago, they underwent a similar situation, which later became known as the Armenian Genocide, which occurred from 1915 to 1923 and resulted in the systematic extermination of around 1.5 million Armenians by the Ottoman Empire. This shared experience of persecution highlights the universality of suffering, regardless of religious affiliation, as innocent civilians become victims of broader geopolitical struggles.
Our day was enriched by a visit to Father Sahak Khosravian of the Armenian Diocese of Tehran.
Christ says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." If Christ speaks of peace, we, in following him, should also have a concern for establishing peace in the world and avoid war, bloodshed, and racism. This is a message from Christ to all believers. However, unfortunately, throughout history, actions have contradicted the teachings of Christ. The world has been filled with war, bloodshed, racism, and consequently, genocide. The Armenians were among the first nations to fall victim to genocide at the hands of the Ottomans in the early 20th century. Today, it is said that if that genocide had been prevented, subsequent genocides might not have occurred. And perhaps we would not witness the genocides in Gaza, Lebanon, and Syria. It is truly regrettable.
The aggressive actions of the Israeli regime have extended beyond just the occupied territories. Neighboring countries, particularly Lebanon, have had to endure the extension of regime's belligerent behavior. As of early November 2024, Israeli attacks on Lebanon has killed more than 3,000 and injured more than 13,000 Lebanese people in the months of fighting between Hezbollah and Israeli forces along the border, according to the Lebanese Ministry of Public Health. There were 589 women and at least 185 children among the dead. The death toll came as an estimated 1.2 million of Lebanon's population were forcibly displaced from cities, towns, and villages, as well as neighborhoods in the capital, Beirut, which Israel bombed repeatedly. We have a lot more to cover today, but first, let's take a moment to catch up on the latest headlines.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the news section of this program. Here we'll go over some important news headlines. AP News. Israeli strikes in Gaza kill at least 22 as Vatican envoy visits Christians for pre-Christmas Mass. Israeli strikes across the Gaza Strip overnight and into Sunday killed at least 22 people, including 5 children, Palestinian medical officials said, while Gaza's small Christian community celebrated a pre-Christmas Mass. Israeli authorities allowed a rare Gaza visit by the leader of the Catholic Church in the Holy Land, Cardinal Pierre Battista Pizzaballa, for the Mass, while the ever-present buzz of Israeli drones was heard outside. One of the latest Israeli strikes hit a school, housing displaced people in Gaza City and killed at least 8, including 3 children, according to Gaza's health ministry. Israel's military said it struck Hamas militants sheltering there. Dozens of worshippers gathered in the Holy Family Church in Gaza City as Pizzaballa and other clergy celebrated Mass. A twinkling Christmas tree was decorated with golden ornaments. I want to say, to tell you that all the world, not only the Christian world, all the world is with you. So the war will finish and we will rebuild, the cardinal said, urging Gazans to never be afraid. Reuters. Pope calls Gaza airstrikes cruelty after Israeli ministers' criticism. Pope Francis on Saturday again condemned Israeli airstrikes in Gaza a day after an Israeli minister publicly denounced the pontiff for suggesting the global community should study whether the military offensive there constitutes a genocide of the Palestinian people. Francis opened his annual Christmas address to the Catholic cardinals, who lead the Vatican's various departments, with what appeared to be a reference to Israeli airstrikes on Friday that killed at least 25 Palestinians in Gaza. Yesterday, children were bombed, said the Pope. This is cruelty. This is not war. I wanted to say this because it touches the heart. In book excerpts published last month, the pontiff said some international experts said that what is happening in Gaza has the characteristics of a genocide. Catholic News Agency. Gaza Catholic Parish prepares for second Christmas under war. As Christmas approaches, the Latin Church of the Holy Family in Gaza is alive with activity. In these dark days, we wanted to offer a sign of hope, especially for our children. That's why, together with the kids, we prepare the nativity scene and the Christmas tree, Father Gabriel Romanelli, the parish priest, wrote in a recent Facebook post. The situation is dire, he said. Humanly speaking, this is a place of death where hope seems to have no place. The vast majority of the population lacks everything: food, water, medicine, electricity, shelter, beds, chairs, glasses, books, notebooks, toilet paper, soap, and everything. Despite the hardship, Gaza's Catholic community strives to keep the light of hope burning. Countercurrents. Bethlehem limits Christmas celebrations to prayers in solidarity with Gaza. The Bethlehem municipality announced that this year's Christmas events will be limited to prayers and religious rituals. The decision aims to show solidarity with Gaza and protest the ongoing genocide against the Palestinian people by Israeli forces. Bethlehem Governorate emphasized that canceling the celebrations rejects the injustices in Gaza and across Palestine. Mayor Anton Salmon confirmed the decision, saying, "We chose to restrict Christmas celebrations to prayers as a stand against the oppression faced by Gaza and all the Palestine." Salmon strongly condemned the continued assault in Gaza. He criticized the international community's silence in the face of Israeli massacres. He called for serious and immediate action to end Israeli violations. The Guardian. Record number of protesters will be in UK prisons this Christmas. 40 people aged 22 to 58 incarcerated for direct actions on climate and Gaza actions amid crackdown on dissent. a record number of people who have taken part in protests will be imprisoned in the UK this Christmas, raising concern about the ongoing crackdown on dissent. 40 people aged from 22 to 58 will be behind bars on Christmas Day for planning or taking part in a variety of protests relating to the climate crisis or the war in Gaza. Several of them are facing years in prison after courts handed down the most severe sentences on record for direct action protests. And thank you for joining us in this section. Please do stay tuned for the main narrative.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
As Christians light their candles and trees and spend their time with their loved ones, let us remember those who are suffering and enduring unimaginable hardship. The spirit of Christmas calls on us to stand in solidarity with those who suffer, to amplify their voices, and to advocate for justice. This season is a powerful reminder that love is not just a feeling, but a call to action, to reach out, to care, and to seek peace.
Father Khosravian emphasized that peace and resistance go hand in hand.
The Christian faith is most known for supporting compassion and love between human beings. How does it view defending the defenseless and standing up against oppression?
There is no mention in the scriptures that one should retreat in the face of tyranny. Never. On the contrary, it has always been stated that one must confront the oppressor by any means possible. Christ was a promoter of peace and friendship, but this does not mean that one should submit to oppression and tyranny. The phrase, turning the other cheek, means that if possible, one should strive for peace, not submit to humiliation and injustice in every situation. Resistance against tyranny is essential. You might want to play chess with your opponent, but they are wearing boxing gloves. In this case, insisting on a chess game is not sensible.
During Christmas, while children around the world joyfully unwrap gifts and celebrate the season with their families, children in Gaza face a harrowing reality marked by violence and loss. Instead of festive cheer, they endure the terror of bombardments, resulting in the tragic loss of life, limbs, and loved ones. Where many children are filled with hope and excitement, those in Gaza grapple with trauma and grief as the ongoing conflict robs them of their innocence and safety. This stark contrast highlights the profound disparity in experiences, underscoring the urgent need for peace and a better future for all children, regardless of their circumstances.
I hope that 2025 will be a year filled with blessings and joy for the people of Iran, and that peace and tranquility will prevail across this entire planet, and the world will be free from any form of war and discord, even in the smallest and most remote places.
The UN's Human Rights Office has condemned the high number of civilians killed in the war in Gaza, saying its analysis shows close to 70% of verified victims over a six-month period were women and children. The agency said the high number was largely due to Israel's use of weapons with wide area effects in densely populated areas. The report released in early November said it found unprecedented levels of international law violations, raising concerns about war crimes and other possible atrocity crimes.
Meanwhile, we had the opportunity to converse with Father Gregoris Nersesian, who offered an intriguing insight from the Gospel.
In the Gospel of Luke, we read that at the time of the birth of Jesus Christ in the city of Bethlehem, angels descended from heaven and announced the birth of the Savior to the shepherds. At that moment, the angels began to sing a song that went, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." However, unfortunately, we witnessed great unrest in the very place where Jesus Christ was born, in Bethlehem and other areas of Palestine. We observe how a regime has broken the peace that God promised with the birth of Christ, leading countless innocent people to death and suffering.
As of mid-October 2024, the Israel regime has killed 2,100 Palestinian infants and toddlers under the age of 2, out of the about 17,000 children it has killed in the Gaza Strip since the start of its genocide on October 7, 2023. Israeli reservists who served in the Netzarim corridor, a recently built road that splits the Gaza Strip in two, have revealed that soldiers are under strict orders to shoot anyone they spot approaching the killing area. There is a line north of the Netzarim corridor known as the Line of Corpses, and the residents of Gaza are fully aware of its meaning. In this area, Palestinians are indiscriminately shot, and their bodies are left to be devoured by dogs, a commander from Division 252 told Haaretz. The killing area is the sniper's target range. We kill civilians there, and they are counted as terrorists, he added, revealing that a competition exists between the different army divisions occupying the east-to-west corridor. If Division 99 killed 150, then the next in line would try to reach 200. In the face of adversity, we must work to ensure that love triumphs over hatred and peace prevails over conflict. The true essence of Christmas is about connection and compassion. It reminds us that ultimately we are all part of a larger human family.
One of the attributes of God is justice. If we uproot the nation from its ancestral lands and deprive it of the right to choose its destiny, we have trampled upon justice. Since justice is one of the highest qualities of God, by violating justice, we are in fact showing disrespect to God Himself. Naturally, church leaders should follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus Christ was a herald of peace, tranquility, friendship, and love among humanity, these leaders should also promote love and compassion among people and defend justice and the rights of the people.
Jesus' teachings are centered around love, compassion, peace, and justice. He emphasized the importance of taking care of the defenseless and standing up against oppression. The Sermon on the Mount is filled with such messages. Yet, as we witness the ongoing atrocities in Gaza, it's disheartening to see many Christian leaders around the world, people who profess to follow Christ, falling short of applying these teachings. The continued violence and humanitarian crisis have reached alarming levels, and the cries for help from those suffering have not received the urgent attention they deserve from global leaders. Most governments that are currently supporting the Israeli regime and its genocide affiliate themselves with the Christian faith. How is justifiable?
You can wake someone who is asleep, but you cannot awaken someone who pretends to be asleep. You cannot wake up those Christian politicians who are pretending to be asleep. They are Christians in name only, as they support warmongers and child killers. As Christ said, one cannot serve two masters. You either follow wealth and power or follow God. If you are a God-fearing person, you must obey only His commandments. However, these politicians are more interested in wealth and clinging to power.
If the world's leaders, who often identify as Christians, truly embrace the core tenets of their faith, we might see a different approach to international relations, particularly in addressing the tragic situation in Gaza. Imagine a world where compassion guided policy, where leaders prioritize peace over politics, and where the words of Christ inspired action rather than indifference.
We hope that in the not-so-distant future, international organizations will cease this passivity and defend the oppressed Palestinian people. They should follow the example of a country like Iran, which has long struggled for the rights of the Palestinian people, standing on the right side of history, and sincerely addressing the need to protect the oppressed against the usurping Zionist regime.
This Christmas, as many gather to celebrate the spirit of love and peace, let us take a moment to remind the victims of the ongoing violence and suffering in Gaza and Lebanon. Let us hope that the true essence of Christmas, that is love, hope, and healing, extends to every corner of the world. Merry Christmas to all, with a wish for peace for those in desperate need.
In the end, we asked Mr. Mansourian to share his wishes for the new year.
I wish for the year 2025 to be a blessed year for the dear people of Iran, regardless of their religion or ethnicity, and that we can overcome the problems and challenges ahead. I also hope that in the region and in the world, war will give way to peace, and hatred and animosity will be replaced by love and compassion, so that we can free ourselves from the current situation we are in.
That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Until next time, take care.
Seven, they're much pressure.
We come to you, and oh God, knowing that thou art our only king.
You're listening to the program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio with me, Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Within Islam, we see that there are always two things mentioned with regards to the actions of a human being. There are those actions that are virtue and good and righteous and bring people reward. And then there are those actions which are the opposite of it, obviously. And this is necessary because we as human beings have free will, and we as human beings are tested, and we as human beings need to show that we are those who are deserving of receiving further blessings by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these opposite acts to righteousness are what we call sin, disobedience, ma'asiyah, and so on and so forth. That these acts go contrary to the command that has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the divine law. And whereas good deeds normally bring benefits and blessings, these sins bring about misery and, you know, illness and ills in our life. So the book that we would like to mention today, again, it's an old book, but it's speaking about a relative matter, something that, you know, it is universal, if you like to say that. That the title being sin and misery is something that we still need to learn from. That every single act we do has a repercussion to it, whether it be in this world or in the next. And this is also important, that a person who has a worldview that involves the hereafter, the necessity of the hereafter, this is something that plays a huge part in it, i.e. the free will actions of that person. So inshallah, in our next segment, we will speak a bit more about this book for the benefit of our dear listeners. So please stay tuned.
Why do we read books in the first place? What are books good for?
We read books because we don't want to reinvent the wheel, if you will.
We'd better take advantage of human cultural and intellectual heritage, particularly related to our daily activities, such as our physical, mental, spiritual, or even religious health.
We can't ignore the past thoughts and experiences. To do so, we need to boost our bookshelf.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to our program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio with me, Brother Yasser Ibrahim. So the book that we have introduced to you in our previous segment was titled Sin and Misery. Again, it was published by the Al-Balagh Foundation and printed in 1993. So as I mentioned, this institute, which is one of the first institutes that was established for the propagation of Islamic teachings after the victory of the Islamic Republic of Iran, this is one of the works that they have produced. Again, it is in the series of Islamic concepts. It is the 14th book in this series. Unfortunately, hopefully, we may be able to find the other books in the series, but let's see what happens, inshallah. So some of the chapters of this particular book is, first, what is the definition of sin? What is sin? Psychological impacts of sin. Now, here by psychological, I don't mean it's something that affects your mind, or I don't think that the author and the compiler of the book means something that impacts your mind. Rather, it is that which impacts your soul. Because psyche also means soul. So psychology, that which impacts the soul. However, psychology has taken a very new meaning in today's world. Obviously, as I said, this book was printed in 1993. We need to understand the words in that time, not in how it is understood now. So psychological basically means how it may affect the soul and the spirit. Sources of sin. Islam's treatment of sin. Sin and retribution, and the endnotes. So these are some of the things that is followed, or rather expressed, or discussed in this book. Again, for example, sources of sin, some of the things that is mentioned, ignorance, psychological deviation. Again, we understand that psychology is not just someone going mentally insane. No. A'udhu billah. Psychological deviation is that your nafs and your soul is being driven towards evil, for whatever reason. Privation, lack of moral and ethical response, and disbelieving in the hereafter punishment. Again, as I mentioned, one of the key worldviews that will enable a person to truly understand sin is the worldview that dictates there is a hereafter and there is a place where all human actions will be judged and will be assessed. And reward will be given for that which is good. Punishment and retribution will be given for that which is bad. This is something that we have to understand. And so on and so forth. These are some of the discussions that I had here in this particular book. Inshallah, for the benefit of our dear listeners, we'll be reading a small portion from it. And hopefully we'll both benefit from it, inshallah, in our next segment. So please stay tuned.
Sacred texts we have received to help us understand where we came from and where we are going as a human race are most rich in helping us find our direction. They narrate stories of our past, but where have they brought us? Where are their messages now? Are we the people of belief, or have we become the people of the boxes? Is there wisdom trapped in our bookshelves? Bookshelves, bookshelves, bookshelves.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to our program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio. With me, Brother Yasser Ibrahim. To recap, the book that we mentioned was titled Sin and Misery. It was published by the Al-Balagh Foundation in 1993 in the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Tehran. So we would like to read from the section titled What is Sin? Obviously, it's important for us to know what is sin. So sin can be defined as a state of rejection of being in compliance with Allah's will, which is definitely the will of good and justice. It can also be described as man's determination to violate the rules and laws of human life and moral principles. All things have been created with appropriate measurements and limits, and whose encroachment has been strictly prohibited. The Holy Quran says, "And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger and breaks His rules," that is the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "will be admitted to the fire." Holy Quran, chapter number 4, verse number 14. In this sense, sin has been described as a harmful, inhumane attitude. The perverted transgressors lack a fine sense of discrimination and appraisal for the meanings and impact of things and actions.
So they do not care for dealing with good things and become indifferent to the biddings of reason and easily respond to the temptation of evil. Therefore, polytheism has been described by the Holy Quran as falling down from a height. And whoever considers things equal to Allah is like one falling from the sky, who is snatched away by birds or carried away by a strong wind to a far distant place. Holy Quran chapter 22, verse number 31. In light of this fact, sin has been synonymous to any action which is incompatible with the laws of moral conduct established by divine teachings and perceived by sound intellect and pure fitra, untouched by perversion. In the light of Islam, sin means leaving duties and practicing forbidden things, muharramat, and turning from goodness to a hostile, aggressive, and harmful attitude. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to recognize His divine law, to follow it, and to refrain from not following it, i.e. to refrain from sin and disobedience, inshallah, by the right of Muhammad and his blessed family. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasir, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran while shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
in the limelight.
The expansion of BRICS provides unique opportunities to strengthen multilateral cooperation, increase economic and political independence from the West, and promote sustainable development. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Press TV wrote, the BRICS group of emerging economies, a major political force in the last two decades, is about to officially welcome 9 new nations as partner countries on Wednesday after admitting 4 new members in 2024. Until recently, the bloc was limited to its original founders of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. But with the group's change in approach, amid requests from various countries to join it, the BRICS agreed to increase its membership in order to expand its front against the West. As a result, Iran, the UAE, Ethiopia, and Egypt joined the group at the beginning of this year in the first phase of its expansion. Currently, more than 10 countries such as Algeria, Bahrain, Kuwait, Bangladesh, and Thailand are in the waiting list for accession. Belarus, Bolivia, Cuba, Indonesia, Kazakhstan, Malaysia, Thailand, Uganda, and Uzbekistan are the countries which will join the group as partners on January 1st. The expansion exemplifies the group's growing heft, building on its desire to create a counterweight to Western influence in global institutions. With its 9 members and 9 partners, BRICS will make up roughly half of the global population and more than 41% of its GDP. The group is an economic powerhouse, including top producers of key commodities like oil, gas, grains, meat, and minerals. The fast-track developments in political, economic, and military equations at both regional and international levels have caused countries to move towards more cooperation and interaction according to their needs and requirements, leading to new strong alliances and weakening previous ones. In the contemporary world, pursuing effective foreign policy and securing political and economic interests without relying on friendly countries or normal partners is difficult even for a great world power. The interaction of developing countries with new political economic powers can turbocharge their growth and progress. In particular, developing countries with emerging economies that have the capacity to become a regional pole are bent on finding effective ways to challenge the current hierarchy of the international system and promoting themselves as a new pole of power in the future multipolar system. The expansion of BRICS provides important opportunities for the organization and its members, which can have significant effects on the world order. The membership of countries from different regions of the world allows the institution to become a stronger and more representative voice of developing and emerging countries. This helps BRICS play a greater role in setting international politics and creating alternative institutions to the Western-dominated world order. The expansion provides more opportunities to strengthen economic and trade cooperation between the countries of the South. This helps to reduce the dependence on developed and Western economies and brings the possibility of faster and more balanced development to the member countries. BRICS can strengthen new financial, commercial, and economic institutions such as the New Development Bank, NDB, and by expanding it, play a more effective role in providing financial and credit services to member countries and other countries. These institutions can replace Western institutions such as the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank and make the global financial order more balanced. With the joining of countries rich in natural resources, BRICS will become a stronger group in terms of energy and natural resources. This can help increase energy cooperation and infrastructure investment and reduce dependence on the West in critical areas. By increasing the number of members and their diversity, BRICS becomes a broader coalition that can have more bargaining power in international negotiations, including on economic, trade, environmental, and security issues. This helps the member countries to strengthen their positions at the global level. BRICS expansion means creating new market for trade and investment. New members get opportunities to exchange technology, build common infrastructure, and collaborate on major development projects. This can help the economic growth of member countries. The expansion further provides new opportunities to create and strengthen regional currencies and alternative payment systems to the U.S. dollar. This could help reduce the dollar's dominance over world trade and create a multipolar financial system. BRICS expansion increases the possibility of exchanging knowledge and technology between member countries. Member countries can cooperate and benefit from each other's capacities in various fields of technology, including artificial intelligence, renewable energy, and medical technologies. In general, the expansion of BRICS provides unique opportunities to strengthen multilateral cooperation, increase economic and political independence from the West, and promote sustainable development.